490 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Thursday episode, and I wanted to talk about two of the Top Cow books that came out this last Wednesday, September 5th. Now, this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, and the reason for that is I don't want to spoil these books for you because I thought they were both outstanding. And there are times in the past where I talked about a book from Top Cow that came out just the day previous, and then, you know, some people don't get a chance to pick up their books on Wednesday, some don't pick up till the weekend, and, you know, then you don't get a chance to listen to the podcast till later, if you even go back and listen to it, right? So I normally don't like to talk about books and in detail, like spoilery, until they've been out for at least 4 or 5 days. But I didn't want to miss out on talking about these books because they're that good. And I was really impressed with the creative team on Aphrodite 9 Ares, the one shot. It's some of the talent hunt participants from 2017. And I was really impressed with what they did. And I thought they deserved a few words at least. And then the other book I'm going to talk about is Eclipse number... I think we're up to number 10, from writer Zach Kaplan and artist Giovanni Timpano. Because again, there were some things that really stood out to me in that book. Now, Zach's been on the show, you know, a bunch of times. He's a good friend. And, I don't want to make it seem like I'm tooting his, horn or singing his praises, for any kind of personal reason, right? This is, I mean, granted, giving my opinion of comics is completely subjective, right? I mean, there's no, it's not like there's a scale. It's not like math, right? Where there's one right answer. So I try to be as objective as I can, despite Zach and my friendship. And there were things that I noticed in the latest issue of Eclipse that, I just wanted to kind of bring to light. And again, no spoilers here. I'm not going to get too into detail. I'll speak kind of in broad terms. But again, there were just some things about it that I noticed that I just had to mention on the podcast. So let me go ahead and give the creative team for Aphrodite 9 Ares one shot. There's two stories here. The first is written by Leon Glazer with art by Sarah Knappen. The second is written by Joanna Marsh. We've got art by Marco Rena and colors by Chris Northrup, and letters for both stories by Troy Pateri. So again, these creators are, for the most part, creators that took place in the talent hunt in 2017. And these are stories that are told in not just the Artifact universe, the Aphrodite universe, but far in the future. Right? We are way in the future. We're way past Cyberforce. We're way past, you know, the current Aphrodite 5 story that Brian Edward Hill is telling. It's Aphrodite 9, which was a story that Matt Hawkins wrote with art by Stefan Sijic a few years ago, and that led into the Ninth Generation story. And credit to Matt for really expanding on a lot of the ideas that came in Cyberforce and the original Aphrodite story. And like I said, expanding on those ideas and creating this rich tapestry that is so ready for a lot of different stories. What I would love to see is an anthology set in this time period with these characters, because in a way that's what this book is. Granted, we only get two stories, but they're both interesting. They're both, we get introduced to some new characters, and they were very compelling. I was very impressed knowing that these creators are, new to comics for the most part. They haven't had a lot of work. There certainly weren't names that I recognized, but the first story by Leon Glazer, I thought was spectacular. I love the fact that he tied things in. He had some ideas in the beginning that got introduced, and then he kind of tied it up, going back to the same ideas in the end. There was some clever writing there. The art by Sarah Knappen, it looks like it's digitally painted to me, and I thought it was done spectacular. She does the colors also, which are also done very well, especially her use of light. And there's a few scenes with like electricity that I thought were done really well, little lightning. And so, yeah, I was very, very impressed with the creative team in the first story. And I certainly would read more with these particular characters, especially if it's done by this creative team. I thought it was spectacular. I have to imagine that Matt Hawkins and Mark Silvestri are pretty proud of what this Talent Hunt team has done here in this issue. Yeah, again, just done really, really, really well. The second story by that second creative team that I mentioned is called Immortal Belongings, and the art looks a little more traditional. We've got, you know, a penciler or an artist rather than a separate colorist, Chris Northrup, who I know has done some work before. In fact, he did the first volume of Eclipse, if I remember correctly. So the art here is, it's not quite as, I don't want to say impactful. It has a very different feel. It's more traditional comic art, but where this art really shines is in the facial expressions, in the emoting of the characters. It's done really well. And again, it's no slight against the story, because I think the dialogue by Joanna Marsh is handled very well. It's very believable. The story is much shorter, so it's a little harder to judge the talent of these creators. But I think Marco Renna, who does the pencils and the inks, it does an incredible job. His sense of storytelling as well, and the transitions from panel to panel are done extremely well. So again, much like the first issue, I would certainly read more of this story with these characters from these creators. So I think at the end of the day, that's what you're hoping for, right? You're hoping that the characters and the stories connect with the readers, so that the readers will come back for more. And I think that in both cases, these creative teams succeeded extremely well. And when I think of it in terms of connection, it's really hard to choose one over the other, like which one resonated more, which one was more compelling, which one would I rather read more of. And I'm not going to choose between the two stories, because honestly, they're both stories I would want more of. So, and maybe that just goes to show that I really do love that, that ninth generation, that future world that Matt Hawkins has built, and really want more. And I'll get more, because at the end of the issue, we see Ares number 9, available December 2018. Ares number 9 Darkness is what it's called. Because again, this one was Aphrodite 9 Ares one shot. So now we're going to get an Ares Generation 9 Darkness one shot. So looking forward to that. All right, let me go ahead and talk about Eclipse number 10. As I mentioned, it's from writer Zach Kaplan. We've got art by Giovanni Timpano and colors by Flavio Dispenza. So before I talk about the issue, I want to talk about the back matter first. So I love that Top Cow does this a lot of times. And you know, Matt Hawkins and Mark Silvestri, I mean, those guys, they give away free stuff all the time. If you want free comics, go to the Top Cow website. There's constantly number ones that they're giving away for free, or Stefan Zizek's giving away, like, you know, whole volumes of his work on his website that you can go and check out. So these guys are always aware of how expensive comics are, and they're trying to give good value for your money. And in that same kind of mindset, they often put really good back matter in their books, whether it's Matt Hawkins doing like science class where he's talking about the real science that's in his think tank books, or if he's doing Sunday school in the tithe, or whatever it is. They're always putting interesting back matter in their books to try to give you more value for the money. So this is no different in Eclipse. Here's Zach Kaplan and the rest of the Eclipse creative team have decided to kind of open up behind the scenes kind of thing. And Zach's talking about how he changed the way he was writing the scripts to take advantage of the talent of Giovanni Timpano, who has a real gift for layouts, right? So Zach kind of stepped back from having to say, okay, like page one, panel one, this is what should be there, page two, panel two, and just kind of like, okay, here's the story, and then I'm going to let Giovanni decide like how many panels and what goes in each panel and this and that, and just to have it a more organic and collaborative process, and let Giovanni's talents as an artist kind of show through. So that's in the back of issue 10. It's really interesting. A look behind the process. We see scripts. We see the way Giovanni's decided to lay the pages out. We get text from Giovanni talking about, you know, what his thought process is and all that. So, really, really cool to get a peek behind the scenes, and you can get a little more out of the story by going and seeing what their thought process is behind their actual, creative work here. Like, what was he thinking? Why did he make that choice? Why did he do this? And I think it's really useful for aspiring creators as well, right? Because Eclipse is a really, really good comic, and Zach has proven to be an extremely talented writer. So if you're looking to break in, if you're looking to understand the nuts and bolts of comics, I think even though it's just a few pages here, you could learn a lot. I'll also say that if you are at a convention where Zach is, you can go and talk to him in person and pick his brain, and he'll be happy to break stuff down with you and be like, this is why I did this way, and this is why I did this way, and this is my thought here. I mean, he's, within reason, very generous with his time and wants to talk about story and process and all that. Obviously, if there's a big line of people waiting to sign his book, he you know, you may have to wait. But if there's nobody there, man, he'll talk your ear off for sure. I mean, he loves to talk story. And anybody who's heard Zach on the podcast before should know that he loves talking comics, because when he comes on, him and I get going, and before we realize it, an hour has come and gone. So I mean, he's just a comic fan. He's one of us. He loves comics, and the fact that he gets to tell the stories himself now is just awesome, because again, I think he's doing an incredible job, and that's partly why I wanted to talk about issue 10. Now, again, I'm not going to get into detail at all. I want you to read it for yourself. I don't want to spoil anything. But what I did want to say about issue 10 was, and again, Zach and I have talked about this on the podcast, you start with a great idea, right? Like Zach's great idea for Eclipse was, what do you do when the thing that gives us life, the thing that allows us to exist, the thing that gives us energy and helps us grow our food and, is this huge benefit, the sun, turns against us in a way, becomes deadly. Like, what are your choices, right? Where do you go from here? So that's kind of the big idea behind Eclipse that Zach came up with. And so he built a world around that. And when you do it right, that world with that great idea at the center of it becomes a character in and of itself. And then you inhabit that world, you inhabit that setting that's its own character with a bunch of other compelling characters. And then not only do you have the interesting dynamics between the characters that are living, breathing, like humans in this case, walking around interacting with each other, they're also interacting with the world as a character, right? And so you start kind of from way out when you look at it, kind of this big top-down overview. with this big idea. And then you drill down and start getting the details of the world fleshed out. And then you start populating it with all these different interesting characters. And then those characters start to interact with each other and interact with their world. And that's how you can tell a compelling story. When you're Zach Kaplan, you take it even one step further, because then you drill down so much into the characters and the narrative and the politics and the interaction and the relationships that all of a sudden that big idea that you had that was super interesting and compelling, it's not that it stops mattering. That's probably not even a word. It's not that it ceases to be relevant or important to your story, because it's still a great idea and it's still central to your story. But what you find is your attention goes from that big idea and gets zeroed in and starts focusing more on the relationships and the politics of the story, to the point where you realize that this story is so compelling and the relationships and the politics have become so interesting that big idea could have been something completely different. As long as it drew you in, as long as it drew you in to meeting these characters and starting to understand the dynamics between the characters, that's what matters. It's still cool because it's a great idea. And especially in this case, we get these cool sun deaths every issue where Zach and Giovanni come up with new ways and in interesting ways that the sun can kill you, which is totally cool and rad and graphically interesting and visually interesting. But I found myself at one point in issue 10 going, it almost doesn't matter what the drama or the driving force or the setting is, because Zach has made these characters so interesting and so compelling, and that they're reacting realistically and yet at odds with each other. And you find yourself relating to both sides of an argument or both sides of a point of view. And that's something special, right? That's a story that you have to pay attention to. And so that's what I found really interesting and compelling about issue 10. Like, there just came a point where I was like, wait, what? Did that character really just say that? And then I had to stop and think about it and found myself, yeah, okay, I kind of agree. And that point of view, if it had been thrown out at the beginning of the story, you would have been like, well, no, that's dumb. Nobody would ever think that. Nobody would ever, it's not realistic. But Zach has taken us on this journey and taken us down this path to the point where, yeah, now we get it. Now we understand why somebody would say something like that and have it be believable in this context. And I realize I'm kind of being vague, because again, I don't want to spoil it. I hope you guys all check it out. I really think Eclipse 10 is, man, it's really, again, Zach raising his game to another level. And I'm really curious to know what other people are thinking about this book now that it's gotten to this point. Because, it really impacted me when I saw that scene. I was like, wow, that is so true. And I never would have agreed to that in volume one. I think both of the Top Cow books this week are definitely worth your time. Again, apologies. This episode's a little shorter than usual, but as I said, I didn't want to go all spoilery, so you guys could have a chance to read all those books for yourself. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next show I'll be at is Long Beach Comic Con in Long Beach, California, Saturday, September 8th. So it's coming up here just in a couple days. Hope to see you there. And once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.